number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, there's a lot going on today, Atlanta. Kevin Stefanski, head coach of our Atlanta Falcons, talking to the media, talking about second week of OTAs. And what's going on with Michael Penix? And what's going on with TUA? That is coming your way in just a little bit. Stay there. We'll get you caught up on all the things that were said today and where the latest is with the health update on a couple of guys with the Falcons. Meanwhile, Hawks extend and actually give a nice extension to Ansi Salehe, the general manager of our team. So he is now going to be president of basketball as well. And congratulations, as we've been discussing that move for the Hawks. Look, I think they're just tidying up things. Mike said it. When people want your guys, you pay them.
You lock them up.
If you're going to keep them. So that news broke today. But I think the other big story, Mike, and we're about to get into this, is what's coming out of SEC spring meetings, which we'll let you hear Kirby in just a second, and then this potential bipartisan bill that is going to be introduced called Protect College Sports Act, which could take a lot of the stuff that these coaches are worried about, a lot of the ADs, school presidents, everything that's been discussed with this new era of college football. Maybe this controls a little bit more of the things that we've been worried about. But before we get to that, man, we got to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So Kirby said this yesterday. I just want you guys to hear it because Mike and I did discuss it. But it's always great to hear from the coach of Georgia when he talks about not being afraid to break away from the conference. This stemmed from, hey, are we self-sufficient? Are we going to expand this college playoff and do too much in this area? And Kirby's been very adamant about this, but he answered this yesterday, and everybody ran with it, Mike, and got crazy because they were like, is the SEC really going to break away? Here's Kirby.
But I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should, you know, play our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and have and play. I mean, like, if we could actually function and it financially would make our programs more stable and we could support things financially, I'm talking about all the sports, and do by our own rules, I'd be all for that. I've been to this meeting now 10, 11 times, and it's frustrating at times to say, well, we can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because we'll get sued. We can't do that. And we're just trying to do things for the betterment of the sport and the betterment of the student athletes. And that's not curtailing what money they make. I'm not advocating that they make less money. I'm fine with what student athletes make. I'm trying to make it where it's as equal and as comparable footing for everybody. And it's not a race to the bottom, as they say.
A lot of guys around the country saying what you and I have been saying for like the last 4 years, that Kirby has taken that baton from Nick Saban as the voice of college football. He is the voice. He's the voice with the most juice, the gravitas in that room down there in Destin and on the beach and everywhere else in college football. And he's using the platform to express, I think, some great takes. How do we get there? I don't know.
Look, the reality is it's not going to happen. It's not best for the SEC to do that. But the reality also is they could if they wanted to and they really wanted to be a jerk about this whole situation, Mike, and go, what? We're self-sustainable. We're still going to fill our stadiums. People are still going to come to our games. SEC football matters. And we can still support all the other sports, which is what Kirby's talking about. Like, they could. But this is not what's in the best interest of college
football.
No, that's
like the nuclear option, right? Like,
yes.
The nuclear option. You know, as we said, there's been like this. It's kind of like us in China. Right, us at the SEC and the Big Ten, we're competing for market share.
Yeah.
You know, we have our own agendas, and they're competing. They're rarely in the same line of thought. You know, and we try to play nice, and somebody's going to come out on top. Now the question is, how does Greg Sankey pivot? Because right now he stepped in some poo poo because you got his coaches, you got his own people that came out this week saying the 9-game league schedule. They said that coaches were misled. So who they were misled by? They were misled by the commissioner. When they were told playoffs would expand to 16 teams, if they agreed, it didn't. They felt misled. That's from John Sumrall, who's not even coached a game now, is Florida's head coach. But Brett McMurphy had that. So it makes people feel like, okay, all the ships aren't maybe sailing in the same direction when it comes to the SEC and how they feel. Some coaches might say, when you got SEC coaches going, well, hell, if we're going to play this meat grinder of a schedule, we might as well just have a 2014 playoff. And that's not what the commissioner's been saying. He's been saying that for months.
Yeah, because they know how much more difficult it's going to be to get into the playoff. Here's Kirby talking about neutral site games, and then we're going to get into this Protect College Sports Act that's being presented that could change some things. Nothing, again, has happened, but this is how things get started after a group of U.S. senators introduce a wide-sweeping legislation today. Here's Kirby Smart talking about neutral site games.
Six, one, half dozen, another. I love the games, so it's not a matter whether it's home and home or neutral site. I think – you know, you ask the fan base, you could get a interesting dynamic. Everybody wants to go to another campus. Everybody wants to have an extra home game for a non-conference. Great game. But everybody likes neutral site games, too. So these opportunities to go to a different place, Jacksonville, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, to say the least, they're really cool experiences for our fan base to go to a place they don't traditionally go to. So I'm more interested in the matchup than I am where it is.
Yeah, I got to coach my guys to beat those guys. But no, like I said, I mean, it's funny. Mike Griffith was joking around with me last week about, like, you know, or 2 weeks ago about how bad it was with, you know, Georgia smoked Florida State. Well, that Orange Bowl game aside, you know, watching, you know, I think what Georgia fans wouldn't want to go to Tallahassee for a weekend. It's a blast. Like, Florida State fans would love to go visit the Classic City. For me, I'm going to go to Alabama this year. I've been to Tuscaloosa in a minute, right, to see a game. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff which, unfortunately, those kind of marquee matchups go away. Imagine if Florida State played Georgia in Nashville. Woo! Nothing against Mercedes-Benz. Wouldn't that be fun?
Sounds very personal to me.
I'm just saying, Carl.
Yes.
All right.
But I agree. Those games.
But like Texas, when Texas plays Ohio State, that's huge. It's the biggest game of the year.
It's huge. Last year was a huge game because everybody wanted to see what was going to happen.
And this year it's going to be the biggest game in the first like quarter of the season.
I agree. They wanted to see what was going to happen with Arch Manning and if he could handle the pressure and all. Okay. So I love these big kickoff games. The thing is, they don't punish you anymore. You can lose that game, Mike. No, it'll look bad on Texas and Sark coming off of an offseason where everybody thinks. But you could lose to Ohio State. You could still get in the playoff. And that's the difference between years ago where you had these big kickoff games, and if you lost, you're already behind the eight ball. You couldn't have another screw.
But that's the argument for the expanded playoff. Then you should be able to have these games because provided the College Football Playoff Committee and their moving target that year values the fact that you had the guts to go if you're Georgia to play Clemson. That's the thing. You're going to lose Georgia Clemson now. That's going to go out the window.
And I love it.
You know, and that's been a great history between Georgia going back for decades, man. So anyway, but that's the thing. It's two separate arguments. If the College Football Playoff Committee did its job consistently with transparency and you knew what they were looking for, then you could schedule accordingly. But you can't.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what they're looking for. The best TV matchups.
Bingo.
That's what they're looking for.
Why they took a long, hard look at Alabama 2 years ago and almost made it.
It's absolutely true. All right, let's talk about this Protect College Sports Act. Again, do not know, guys, where this goes. It may never even get passed. But we got to start somewhere. And so a group of U.S. senators introducing a new wide-sweeping legislation today. It aims at addressing many of the current issues in college sports, Mike. Will it?
Yeah, it's Ted Cruz from Texas, being Republican. And it is the senator from Washington. Again, so you got folks working across the aisle on this. Maria Cantwell is her name, is the senator from Washington State. And so here's the broad strokes. One transfer for undergrads. You get one time to you get only one opportunity to transfer.
I like it.
Out of a program. 5 years of eligibility. No more of this guy's playing in years 8 and 7, and it's making a mockery of the system.
And they've actually gone to this already. We talked about the 5, 5, and 5, but yes, love it.
Can't hire another school's coach during season to avoid the – they're calling that the Lane Kiffin rule.
Okay, so if your team makes the playoffs, you can't leave.
Can't leave.
Okay.
Freeze conference memberships in the SEC and Big Ten.
Let me rephrase that. Can't leave until after the season.
Correct.
Okay, sorry.
Allow pooling of media rights if 75% of the FBS teams agree. Now, the joke is, yes, everybody would agree you don't even need the Big Ten and the SEC to agree to that. And then the Big Ten, the SEC, be like, well, you're not getting our money. You're not going to be pulled. Mm-hmm. And if you're the ACC, I mean, you want more money, but you really want to be giving your money, which is bottom of the barrel right now, to the rest of the kitty? It's been interesting. Anyway, but that's something that's out there. More things, and this is you can read about this. Enforce tampering, rev share rules, not for or against athlete employment. You and I were just talking about this. If you're going to have a salary cap, then how do you navigate the legal minefield of players suing you and having their own union, in which case they could go on strike?
Yeah.
They're saying that it's not for or against athlete employment. Well, that would have to get straightened out.
Yeah, look, and these are some of the obstacles that they'll be faced with as they try to address some of these things. And here's the thing. I think you put everything in here
right.
that you think needs to be addressed. And then chip along away. The way, that's chip right, so there'll be things that are like, okay, this is way more important than this. This is way more important than that other thing. And then you finally get to a real Protect College Sports Act that could potentially be passed bipartisan-wise. But Mike, at the end of the day, right now, when I look at all these things they're trying to address, I'm like, this is kind of overwhelming. I think we just think about the NIL and the portal stuff because that's just present. There's so much more to this that they're trying to get adjusted or will if this was to go through,
right,
that, yeah, this would definitely put a clamp on some of the things that we're seeing with college football. The question, though, is will it make it better? And that's what everybody's going to say. Yeah, you're doing all of this. Is it better? And I said this to you immediately when we started talking about this today, which was the first thing that you see with this, the connection to this bipartisan college sports bill is a limit on how much these guys can make.
Right.
And the only way you're going to do that is to have a collective bargaining agreement. Right. And that's
now,
the only
and
way.
Now your college football players are employees. And, I mean, again, it'd be like not the Ed O'Bannon specifics, but it'd be an Ed O'Bannon type thing running its way through the courts the whole time. And as Kirby just talked about down in Destin, everything winds up in the courtroom these days. So that would be something. I mentioned the resources being, you know, pooled. Brett McMurphy points out, he says, the bill includes an opportunity for schools to collectively pool all their rights to money.
Okay.
A minimum threshold, 75% of the 138 FBS schools must be reached. Even if the Big Ten and SEC didn't sign off and the rest of the FBS did, it would still be over 75%. I have a hard time accepting that the guys in the Big Ten and the SEC would be willing to share the kitty.
It's a lot.
It's just, I don't, that's, that to me seems like that would be, there'd be a whole lot of feet dragging on that one.
Yeah, but you know what? What they're saying is then now we're playing on an equal playing field.
Right? Correct.
Everybody.
And then you enjoy the last few years of Texas Tech basically pirating everybody and all this nonsense that's come along the last like 3 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, as Carl said, a lot of stuff to unpack. There's all the, ESPN's got articles on it, Sporting News, everybody's got SI. But, and we're going to reach out to Pat Ford to get his take on this week. At least it's a start, right? At least it's a start, you know? So I know the president was trying to do some stuff, and that was, some of that was legit, some was grandstanding, but at least let's try to get some people discussing it. Look, I get it. Now, some people would say there's a million other things we got going on in this country. We don't need Congress doing this. Well,
actually, we do.
This is something that a lot of folks who vote would like to see addressed.
Yeah, I think when you start talking about the impact of college football,
correct,
the financial impact, this is something that does need to get
right
addressed.
And then
I'm not telling you it's one.
No, but as you and I were talking about last week, Abe and I were talking about, if you get a kid who plays one of those friends and family sports, you want that kid, you still want to get a chance to get a scholarship to get pay for your kid's education. If they start erasing those programs, that option goes out the window.
Yeah.
Because football gobbles up all the money.